Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I want to invite you to turn with me this morning to Philippians chapter 3. I want to look at Philippians 3, verses 7 to 16. And I want to give you the title of this message before we enter into it. I've titled this from a very personal point of view. This message is called Three Things That I Truly Need. Three things that I truly need. I need these things. I just want to speak to you from my heart this morning. I want to tell you three personal things that I need. Now, to see those things, I want to enter into what the Apostle Paul is saying right here in Philippians chapter 3. Look with me first at verse 8. He begins this verse by saying, "Yea, doubtless." He said, "I don't doubt for one second what I'm about to tell you." He said in verse 8, "I count all things loss." Loss. Now, he just finished talking about all of his religion at the beginning of that chapter. He talked about how perfect he was in religion. And then he said, "I got rid of it. Every bit of it, I got rid of it." Paul went to seminary. He went to religious college. He studied under a man named Gamaliel, the top religious professor. And Paul said, "I've thrown every bit of the teaching that he taught me out. I've thrown it all out." He said, "I finally realized it was all dung." And that's a strong word. We know what that word means, don't we? Dung. Dung. That's an amazing statement to make for a man who was in the top of his game, in the religious circle, a man who God used to pen half of the New Testament. He said, "I count all of my religious works, all of my religious learning, everything I knew, everything I did, I count it all dung." In verse 7, he said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." What Paul is saying right there is this. It used to be, for Paul, he's saying, it used to be, "I have." And that's what man loves to say in religion. "I have." Well, let me tell you what I have done. Paul said, it used to be, "I have." It used to be, "I am." It used to be, "I will." Now, he said, it's He has. He is. He will. He shall. Him. Not me. Him. Not unto us, O Lord. David said the same thing, didn't he? Not unto us, O Lord, unto thy name. It's not me. It's him. Paul did not say right here, I don't want to plead my own righteousness. He didn't say that. What he said was, I don't even want to have one. I don't even want to have a list of my own good works. He's saying everything I've ever done is a filthy rag. The only righteousness I have is the righteousness which is of God, the righteousness that Jesus Christ earned. The righteousness which is of God by faith in Him. The righteousness of Christ that is revealed to a sinner through God-given faith. Verse 10, Paul said, that I may know Him. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, the power of it, the power of His resurrection. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Matthew 27. I've always thought this was so amazing. Matthew 27, verse 50, it says, when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, He yielded up the ghost. This is on the cross of Calvary. When He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That right there is the power of His resurrection. His resurrection raises dead men. I want to know that. Don't you? I want to be a partaker of that. Back in Philippians 3, verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. In Christ, sinners don't have to suffer alone. That's the most wonderful news I've ever heard in my life. In Christ, sinners don't have to suffer alone. Outside of the blood of Christ, this world is going to have to suffer alone. Every soul individually will have to go stand before God. They're going to be judged individually. And they're going to be punished individually. But not a soul that's in the blood of Christ. Not in Him. If we're in Him, we stood before God with Him. On that great day of the cross, as He stood there before God and God judged Him, if we're in Christ, we were judged with Him that day. And God punished His Son, didn't He? And if we were in Christ, we were punished with Him there, then, that day. We suffered with Him. We died with Him. Verse 10 says, being made conformable unto His death. That's what we want. That's the only hope a sinner has. Verse 11 says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What he's saying is, I want to lay hold of the one who has laid hold of me. I want to lay hold of him because he laid hold of me. Verse 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not reached my finish line yet. I still have to run the race of this life. I still have to carry around with me the body of this death. I still have to feel the weight and the burden and the presence of my sin. Verse 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget those things which are behind. All of the things. The past is the past. It's over. It's over. When we turn around and look at our past, all we see is sin. That's it. Whether we laid in the sin of the gutter or the sin of the church pew, it was all sin. Outside of Christ, everything, all of our doings, all of our righteousnesses. We go to church. We're so proud of ourselves for going to church. It's a filthy rag. It's all sin. We can't change it. What's done is done. But Paul said, today is the day of salvation. He said, reach forward to those things which are before and press toward the mark. Let me ask you this. What things are before? What is before us? Well, Lamentations 3 tells us brand new mercy is waiting every single morning. An increasing of faith every time the gospel is heard is before us. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow is before us. Paul said, reach for the mark. What is the mark? Christ is the mark. Christ is the mark. Verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he says in verse 15, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, meaning called of God to be in Christ Jesus. That's the only way a sinner can be made perfect. It's to be in Christ, in the perfect one. Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. This is the mindset of a believer. And if we veer off, God will bring us back. If we belong to Him, God will bring us back. The Scripture says, they shall all be taught of God. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now, while I was reading over this portion of Scripture, in what the Apostle Paul has written right here, I saw three things that I personally need in this life. I hope this will be eye-opening. I hope this will be an encouragement. And I pray this will be a help. I really do. Paul said, "My race is not done yet. It's not finished yet. It's finished in the blood of Christ. It was finished from before the world began. It's ordered and sure. It's all on purpose. It's all predetermined. But in the will and purpose of God, I am still running the race of this life. I'm still walking the walk of this earth. And once we physically reach out and touch our mark, Christ, our finished line, these former things won't even come to mind. Isn't that what the Scripture says? The saints in glory, they're not going to be thinking about life on this earth. It's going to be too glorious seeing the Savior, beholding Him, hearing Him. Why would we want to think back on these things? These won't come to mind. But Paul said, until that happens, I'm going to try my hardest to forget everything that's behind me and count it all dung so I can press towards something else. Now, as I think about my own life, the things that I now consider to be dung, I see three things that I need in order to finish my race. I see three things in this portion of Scripture that I need in order to finish my race. The first one is at the end of verse 8 and the beginning of verse 9. That I may win Christ and be found in Him. I need the comfort of knowing, based on His Word, that I will win Christ. Do you need that? I need to know that I'm in Him. I can't take that for granted. I don't want to assume. I need to know. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a sinner. I don't know if that's a shock to you or not, but I am. I'm a sinner. I was conceived in sin, right along with David. I believe that I'm the chief of sinners, right along with the Apostle Paul. Sin is what I am. It's mixed with everything I do. And I need to know that Christ came to save sinners. I need to know that. If God will, through His Word, convince my heart of that, then everything else will be dung. As far as I'm concerned, everything else is dung. If God will convince my heart of that, that Christ came to save sinners, and because of that He put me in Him, I'm a sinner. And if I'm convinced that God has put me in Christ, then everything else is dung. It doesn't matter. It truly doesn't matter. People win things all the time. They go on game shows and they win trips and they win boats and they win cars. Every now and then you'll see somebody on the news won the lottery. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Is that your heart's desire? Can you say that from your heart? Can we just strip down to the core of things here for just a minute? Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Are we not convinced that fame and fortune and everything in this world, everything that this world has for us to press toward, that's all the world has, is fame and fortune and those things. Has God shown us and convinced us that it's dung? It doesn't mean anything. Compared to winning Christ and being found in Him, it is nothing, nothing but dung. I need the comfort of knowing that when I get to the end of this race, Christ will be my finish line. That's the first thing I need. The second thing is at the beginning of verse 10, right here in this text, that I may know Him. I need to win Him, and I need to know Him. If I'm going to have any amount of joy and comfort and peace, I'm going to tell you, this life is difficult. This life is hard. I don't know how old you are. I don't know how many experiences you've had, but either we have seen this to be true, or we are currently seeing this to be true, or we will very soon see this to be true. This is a difficult life. Trials, troubles, hardships, heartaches, sorrow, tears. This is a difficult life. Sin has just tainted everything, ruined everything. And if I'm going to have any amount of joy or comfort or peace, I need to know Him. The only way it will come is if I truly know Him. We see people we know all the time. You do. I do. We're affectionate with those that we know and love. We smile at each other. We shake hands. We might give each other a hug. Tell each other how much we love each other. We appreciate each other. We're thankful for each other. Can't wait to see each other again. We'll see you soon. The reason we do that is because we know each other. You don't do that to a stranger. You do that with somebody you know. You have that bond, that closeness, the comfort with those that you know. Well, I need to know Him. In the same way, I need to feel His embrace. I need for Him to hug me. How's that possible? Through His Word. I need to see His smile. I need to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I need to see His smile. I need to hear His voice. I need to hear Him say through His Word. That's how it happens, through His Word. I need to hear Him say to my heart that He loves me. I need to hear Him say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Do you need that? I'm telling you, if a sinner ever hears Him say that, he'll count everything else to be dung. It won't mean anything. That sinner will say, I don't need fame. I don't need fortune. I need to win Him, and I need to know Him. Now, here's the third thing that I need for the rest of my time here on this earth. Verse 15, He said, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, meaning be found in Christ in the perfection of His blood and His righteousness. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. The end of verse 16, He said, let us mind the same thing. For the rest of my time here on this earth, I need unity with every brother and sister in Christ that God has given me. I don't want to be at odds with any of God's people. Do you? I don't. Nothing is more crushing to the heart than for two brethren who claim to have all their hope in the blood of Christ to be at odds. Nothing more crushing, nothing more sad in the world we live in than for two brethren to be in that state. I don't need to be at peace and unity with this world, the world that has no heart for Christ, no love for Christ, no fear of God. But I'm telling you, I must be in the love and unity of God's people. I need it. I need it, and you do too. If you love Christ, you need it too. And I will tell you that our adversary is going to continually try to divide God's people, God's chosen people. He's going to try to divide the true church of God. So if the Father has convinced us that we're sinners, and if He has convinced us that Christ came to save sinners, and our only hope is in Him, if He's given us faith to believe that, if He's given us faith to believe that He has put us in Christ, because that's where all our hope is, then let's all press toward Christ. Let's all press toward the One who is our peace and the One who is our happiness and the One who is our unity. All of it is found in Him. So let's press toward Him in prayer. Let's beg Him to keep us. Let's beg Him to speak to us. Let's beg Him to preserve our love and our unity. Let's be praying for that. May God cause His sheep to love one another in Christ. I want to close this message by reading one verse of Scripture to you from Psalm 133. If you have your Bible, turn with me over there to Psalm 133. This is a precious, precious verse. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, behold, look at this, dwell on this. With the eyes of faith and love, see this. Behold how good." You know, there's nothing good on this earth but what is in Christ. That man came up to the Lord one time and he said, "Good Master," and our Lord said, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." And that is true. Behold, Psalm 133 says, how good, how of God this is, how glorifying to God this is, and honoring to God this is. Behold how good and how pleasant. It's so precious. Nothing more pleasant. Nothing more pleasant in this lifetime. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. True brethren. Those who have been called of God to be redeemed in Christ. Ephesians 1 talks about our being adopted into the family of God by Jesus Christ to Himself. That adoption makes us brethren. If God chose us, we're brethren in Christ. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity, one. That's Christ. We dwell together in Christ. God said, I'm going to dwell with them. They're going to dwell with me. I'm going to dwell with them forever. How good and how pleasant that is. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.